Intervju Radija Študent. Lepo zdrav v intervjuju Radija Študent, kjer danes gostimo ameriško zasedbo Nomo, ki bo nocoj zakuhala afrobeat in funk vročično žurko na odru Gale Hale na Metelkovi v okrilju festivala Druga godba. Z vodjo zasedbe Nomo, Elliotom, se je pogovarjal Giza. Preden pa prisluhnemo pogovoru, pa še malce muzike, naslovni komad poslušamo z njihove plošče Invisible Cities.
Z nami danes v intervjuju je Elliot Bergman, vodja zasedbe Nomo, ki si jo lahko ogledate danes večer na letnem odru. Kaj že, letni vrt Gale Hale, tako rekoč. Ne? Na drugi godbi, festivalu in bomo kakšno rekli o njegovem bendu, o tem, kaj se bo dal danes tam videti in še kaj drugega, ne, bomo vmes po mojem nakvasali. Skratka, z mano, ne, je Elliot Bergman in bova kar prešaltala na angleščino počas, da se vsi razumemo. Ne. Hello.
Hello.
Did you understand something?
I think you were talking bad about me, yeah?
Yeah. I say I'll fuck you up tomorrow after the concert
and take our
and all those nasty things. Okay. So how was the trip? I heard you were in Amsterdam.
We were in Amsterdam, and then we were in Nijmegen yesterday. Hmm. And the trip is going really well. The concerts have been great. We played in Mersfest in Germany the night before. So we've had three concerts so far on this trip. About maybe 6 hours of sleep total. lots of traveling and lots of playing and not much sleeping, but
so the guys are sleeping at the moment.
The guys are sleeping at the moment. I had to say that they need their sleeping time, and I'll be the martyr of the group. And no.
Okay. Tell me, what's with the funk jazz scene in Chicago?
In Chicago, I don't know. There's a great jazz scene in Chicago, and it's more kind of on the experimental side of things. You know, there's a lot of great musicians there that we kind of get to work with on different levels, but with Nomo we've worked with a number of members of the AACM, which I really love. Nicole Mitchell plays on our second record called New Tones, and Hamid Drake is a fantastic drummer that we worked with on Ghost Rock a little bit. And there's really just a really beautiful, fertile kind of scene in Chicago for jazz and improvised music. And
hip-hop is pretty big.
Hip-hop is big, yeah. There's a lot of interesting things happening in hip-hop right now in Chicago. In terms of, a funk scene, I don't think of there being, a funk scene in Chicago. But there's a lot of, I think it's much more of a rock-oriented scene. And so, our band sort of exists on the road mostly. You know, we started in Michigan near Detroit in Ann Arbor, which is a great college town and has a radio station called WCBN that seems to be sort of a sister station to the station. But so we started there, and then half of us live in Chicago now, so we're kind of all over the place.
Okay. I heard that you guys met at university, Michigan University or something.
Yeah.
But tell me, how did you come together, and where does the inspiration behind the sound of music come from?
Well, we all lived together in this house. Not the entire band, but a lot of us lived together, and it was a house where there was a big basement, and we would put on shows there and have parties and concerts, and it was a rehearsal space for a number of bands as well. So Nomo kind of started. I was having problems with my jaw. I couldn't play my saxophone, and so my friend gave me a Fender Rhodes, and so I said, okay, well, I have to have a band where I can play the piano. And so I just kind of started writing music where, you know, I wanted to stay active, and I had all these great musician friends, but I had to kind of take some time off of my main instrument. So I sort of started to think about things in a little bit different way. And it was mainly a collective of jazz musicians, but we wanted to make music that was a little bit more danceable. We were playing these, you know, a lot of kind of experimental improvised concerts for, you know, 5 to 20 people playing all the time. And it's great, and we still do that sort of thing a lot. But we wanted to do something that was a little bit more social, like more like, you know, music that people would dance to.
Like
music.
Dance floor music.
Yeah, you know, and so it's not like strictly dance floor music. You know, we still kind of try to bring in that experimental spirit and use kind of our wide-ranging interests to kind of color the sounds of the band. But when we were first starting the band, Afrobeat was a very big source of inspiration. We loved, you know, the instrumentation. We loved the sounds. We loved the rhythms, the guitar parts, the way the horns would, you know, they were just so heavy and thick, and all the percussion, the layers of percussion. So, you know, that was sort of a template to follow early on in the band. We said, okay, let's kind of try to do something that's a big band with lots of horns and percussion, kind of in the spirit of some of this funky African music, and so that was sort of a starting place. And then as we kind of continue to grow as a band, there's always new influences coming in from, you know, different places.
But what does Nomo actually mean? Does it mean something?
It means kind of a number of different things, but there's a Gary Bartz tune that was called Nomo. Nomo, N-O-M-M-O, is you know, from the Dogon tribe in like Mali and stuff. It's they refer to their ancestors or their gods sort of as Nomo, and so it's sort of an interesting kind of topic for a lot of a number of musicians have kind of written about this. But Gary Bartz had a tune called Nomo, and he said, this is the music that dispels bad spirits, and we'll play that. They played it at the start of every concert. So I like that idea of pushing the bad energy, the bad vibe out of the room, and so we're trying to do something that's positive.
But you started, like you said before, as an like alternative Afrobeat collective, something. But with Ghost Rock, which is your last year's album, you became kind of funk rock electronic something.
Yeah.
One hybrid of I don't know what. So was this decision to include like electronic sounds, more improvisation, and like strong rock spontaneous, or you just wanted to change the sound of the band at the moment, so like last year?
Yeah, I think that you know, every record you make, it's like a new opportunity to try something, and we're still very much kind of learning about the process of making records, and it's really so much fun, and it's kind of a blank canvas every time you start. So, and we we wouldn't want to make the same record over and over again, and so we're just kind of getting more comfortable with ourselves. I think, you know, when you start, you think, okay, we have to do this, it should sound like this, and I think kind of part of the process of growing as a band is saying we can do whatever we want, and allowing yourself to kind of explore different ideas and just being open to different things. And so, you know, and sometimes it can come as a surprise. You know, I remember I had recorded tons of all these demos, you know, kind of like a lot of, I make these instruments, these electric kalimbas, and we had recorded a lot of stuff, and I had recorded a lot of kind of experimental synthesizer stuff. And, you know, I was playing some for my girlfriend, and I said, I don't know how this is going to fit into Noma. I don't know if this can be Noma. Maybe I have to start a new band. She said, no, this is the new Noma. This is the most interesting thing you're doing. And sometimes it can just be, you know, that hearing that was, it was sort of like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Why does Noma have to be anything? It can be whatever we want it to be. And, so, you know, it's sometimes you just have to say to yourself, okay, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't have to be like the last record. We're free to take this any direction.
But I think it's interesting because now it's like new funk revival with this, I don't know, anti-ballas, Quantic. So even in Spain, I don't know, they have Sweet Vandals and those bands. But you are not like retro-oriented. You are something very different from this scene. Do you think that you are actually part of this new revival funk scene or not?
Well, I don't... I like all those guys very much, and I like the music that they're making. But I think that there is a difference in that. I think that, you know, there is sort of a retro spirit and vibe, and sort of a nostalgic feeling, you know, about how records used to be made, how records should sound. And I'm interested in those old recording techniques. I love vintage gear, all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to make a record. I don't want to trick anybody. I want to make a record that sounds modern, that sounds like it couldn't have been made any other time except right now. And so I think that, you know, we're kind of constantly trying to do something that's pushing, you know, and something that people maybe haven't heard before. So, I don't want to make a record that sounds like it was recorded in 1976 or something, or, you know, but I also don't want to... I don't want to dismiss what those guys are doing, because I love it. It's and I think it's great, but I do think of us as trying to do something a little bit different.
But Noma is like multicultural, multi-ethnic music. I don't know, musical mixture with a different musical background and influences. So is there a place for like every musician to express himself inside the group, or
I think so. Because there's a lot of room for improvisation, and everybody has sort of a everybody has a space to kind of say their piece musically in the band. And you know, it's instrumental, so it's not like everybody has a sad love song to sing or something like that. But everybody has a place in the band, and there's a lot of different layers happening all the time. So there's we try to kind of create a space for everybody in the band.
Okay. Who do you think influenced Noma sound more? Those like funk, Afrobeat artists I mentioned before, and maybe Fela Kuti, or like jazz giants like John Coltrane, like Sun Ra, maybe Charles Mingus, or even like those British krautrock something scene like Khan, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's actually all this music is in your music. So.
Sure, yeah. It's we kind of I don't know. I maybe people, you know, mostly like to talk about Afrobeat, and I don't know if that's something that will go away at some point. But you know, for the first few years of the band, it was like every time anybody wrote about the band, it said Fela Kuti in the first sentence or paragraph, you know. And gradually it's sort of, people are starting to talk about other things, but for me there's so many different ideas in the band and so many different strains. But yeah, the kind of can or we love this band Harmonia, Neu, Kluster, all this stuff, this German kind of krautrock stuff is really inspiring to me. I love the kind of like open time structures, but also, you know, minimalism, like the music of Steve Reich, or you know, is something that was very much an inspiration to me. Gamelan music is a big inspiration. You know, so there's all these things that maybe aren't the most obvious. Maybe people just hear a horn section and drums and they think Afrobeat or, you know. But I also grew up listening to Pharoah Sanders and John Coltrane almost every day and Alice Coltrane and, you know, some of this more kind of spiritual jazz is that really connects with me in a lot of ways. But then, you know, so, you know, there's all this information coming in and we're all kind of sponges. We're all kind of still students of music in so many ways. I think that's a lifelong process, is kind of learning and finding new music and discovering new things. And that's one of the best things about touring is you meet people who are interested in music and they can say, oh, have you heard this record? You must have heard this record because you sound exactly like this or something, you know. And sometimes it's sort of insulting, sometimes it's inspiring, you know. But, you know, it's always interesting to see the different ways in which people are interpreting your music. And they're saying, you must hear this. And then you hear it and it's great and you're learning all the time. And we just heard this this great record a few weeks ago. Somebody put it on a mixtape. It was like, it sounded like a Lost Nomo song. We couldn't believe it. It was like, this is it was very funny.
But you don't know the name.
I'm not. Okay. I'm too tired. I'll think of it by the end of the interview.
Okay. Is your writing procedure coming from jam sessions or not? Because at first, in the beginning, I thought most of your music is coming from like jam sessions, but now I see it as like very structured music with some interesting individual like chaos in it. So am I right?
Yeah, I think that you know, generally I kind of compose most of the thematic material. You know, like maybe I'll write a horn melody, or, you know, I kind of figure out what the guitar and the bass should be doing, or maybe there's a drum beat that everything's going to be based around. Or on Ghost Rock and Invisible Cities, there's a lot of songs that have a electric kalimba loop as sort of the basis, you know, and it's going kind of throughout. And then there's a lot of rhythmic ideas and melodic ideas that can be sort of extracted from that. So usually there's one thing that starts for a Nomo song, and then we kind of build things off of that idea. So
it's not a jam session.
It's not a jam session, really. Okay. Yeah, and it really never has been. I mean, there's maybe at the very beginning of the band, there would just be sort of a riff, and we would all kind of play off of that for a while. But there's always been sort of a certain degree of organization, and then everybody knows kind of how to. What to do with, you know, the compositions are somewhat minimal. You know, we don't have big scores or something. There's not charts, and everything we do is by ear. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the main difference in approach between all your albums? Because, like, the first album is very different from the second one, and then the third one is totally different. Now maybe those two, the last two, are like more similar, but
so the first album, it was still very much we were still kind of just becoming a band, and it was 15 people all playing live in a studio two nights, and then the record was done. So it's kind of a document, you know. It's sort of what the live band sounds like, with maybe a little bit of extra kind of production here and there, but almost no overdubs. It was just pretty much how it happened, live in the room. And then on New
Tones, there was no electronics in it. And
yeah, no, it was,
no,
it was, it was kind of an organic thing, you know. You know, the five people in the horn section, there were four percussionists. There was a woman from Ghana playing djembe and a conga player, and, you know, it was a big band, and it had a very kind of live, freewheeling spirit to it, I think. And I still really like that record, and we still put it on sometimes and think it's gonna sound it's gonna be like, oh, we shouldn't let people buy this old album anymore, but it still sounds it's still appealing to me. And then on New Tones, our second album, it was sort of a combination of that live band all playing together, with then kind of going back and saying, how can we make this more interesting? How can we, what are some other textures that we can layer in here? What can we, how can we really kind of make this into a really interesting record rather than just a document of a band? And so we started to sort of experiment with different overdubbing and kind of some loops and just kind of thinking of things in new ways. And that was, we had Nicole Mitchell, the flutist, play with us on that record, and that really brought a special element to the album. So, and then on Ghost Rock, it was almost like we had all moved apart, and we weren't really, a few of us moved to Chicago, some people moved to New York, and so it was sort of the end of the era of having a band where we were all playing together every week, and so then it started to be, I had to start making music a little bit more on my own, and trying to think of where the band was going to go, and so I guess I had too much time by myself in my basement to mess around with synthesizers and build kind of junkyard electronics, and so I think maybe things kind of took a turn to the left a little bit. But so we, and the process was different on those, in that the band would be sort of recording over something that was already done. You know, so maybe I would make a loop or make kind of some rhythmic ideas on my own, and then we would come in and build everything off of that rather than starting with the live band performing and then adding some stuff. So it was like the process sort of flipped around a little bit, where we were kind of building the record from the ground up a little bit. And so, it, you know, it, we're just kind of still experimenting with how we make our records, and it's okay. It's kind of different on each one.
What's with this like unique instrumentation and instruments you have in your own music? There are plenty of like some drums, some, I don't know, percussions. Well, where are those instruments made, actually? Are they, like, made at home?
Yeah, we make them at home, and I have a little workshop with a drill press and a saw and some sanders and, you know. But so a lot of these instruments are variations on, like, an African thumb piano or kalimba mbira. But they're kind of, like, mutant kalimbas. And, they like, so some of them sound really crazy. They're, like, super, you know, sub bass, or they sound like church bells, or they sound like a gamelan. And a lot of them I play with mallets, but they're all electric, and so you can kind of route the signal through a number of different effects and stuff and get some very kind of unusual sounds and textures. But
will we see those instruments tonight?
Yes, we'll see them tonight. Yeah, there's a few of them. We've brought as many of them as we can fit in the suitcase.
But were you inspired by Moondog in doing this
stuff?
I
love Moondog, yeah. Moondog is a huge inspiration. I'm always looking for new Moondog records, sometimes just to see the pictures of his instruments, because they're so beautiful and, you know, it's so unusual. And I love the spirit of him kind of just, you know, creating new sounds Well, just that experimental tendency to say, you know, okay, I need to make my own instrument. There's always something unusual that will come out of that. I find that in each new instrument, I'm not a great craftsman. So there's a lot of inconsistencies in the instruments that we build. And then you kind of find that maybe through messing around with it, there's a new song in every little instrument that you build, and something that kind of wants to be played. And so it's kind of an interesting way to compose. It's a nice way to just generate ideas and you know, music.
Okay, how important are live gigs for you? You played with, I don't know, Earth, Wind and Fire years ago, with Konono One and with Dan Deacon.
Yeah,
you played, I don't know, on Montreux Jazz Festival, on Pitchfork Festival. So this is like totally different styles of music you play, like in punk clubs, I heard.
Yeah.
So how is it important, you know, with all those different styles and genres, to be in the stage to present your music live?
Well, it's something that we've been talking about a lot lately in the band, because we've been doing this for 6 years now, and we're still doing such a wide variety of things, you know, it almost doesn't make sense. So sometimes we wonder if we're, hurting ourselves by being so open to different things, but it's very unusual to see how different people respond, and it's encouraging to see that really diverse audiences can kind of connect with the music in some way. I don't know. To me, it's something that's special about this band. I've played in many bands over the years, but this one certainly has the most wide-ranging audiences. And so, yeah, you know, we play with Earth, Wind & Fire, and it's people are dancing and it's fun and good. And then we play with Dan Deacon, and people are just it's like a bunch of noise kids, and they're all just freaking out, and somehow something is connecting with them, and. Then we can play in like a real world music festival kind of type setting, and there's an element in the band that people are connecting with there. So, in a way it's maybe just a little bit confusing for somebody that's trying to promote the band. What do you talk about? What do you say? Is this a dance party? Is this, an avant-garde kind of jazz audience? Is this, people that are into hip hop and beats and that sort of stuff? Do we put it in the same place that we put, Antiballas and Sharon Jones and Budos Band? There's overlaps with all these different scenes and musics, and so we want to be able to kind of relate to all these different people, and we try not to discriminate about our audience.
Are you open to improvise, or you just want to play like dance party music on your concerts? And what can we expect tonight? So will there be everything like Nomo from the beginning till now, or it'll be like the thing you were doing in the last 2 years?
I think it'll be more focused on the newer material, but. We still do some stuff from. We haven't been playing much off our first record lately, but we still do maybe four or five tunes from New Tones regularly. It depends on the audience. When there's if it's a really packed club and people are dancing, Your tendency as a performer is to want to keep that going, sort of like in a DJ set or something. You don't want to stop that energy because it feels good. It's fun to have people dancing, and so you don't necessarily want to do like a kind of like free improvised piece. But sometimes, if it's a really great audience, you can do whatever, and you can take it to someplace totally crazy and out there, and they're still right there with you. Then sometimes you'll lose the audience, and people will be dancing. You think it's going great. You try something different. Dancing stops. So the live performance, it's very much a relationship with the audience, and we get a lot of energy from them, and it's sort of a give and take relationship,
it's psychology maybe.
Yeah, maybe it is a little bit of psychology, but.
Just tell me, I have a question.
Poslušali ste intervju z zasedbo Nomo, ki bo nocoj nastopila v Gala Hali na Metelkovi v okrilju festivala Druga godba. Intervju je pripravil Giza. Intervju Radija Študent.